When Gwyneth Paltrow announced her conscious uncoupling from Chris Martin in 2014, the world scoffed. Behind this seemingly new-age phrase, however, stood a profound framework developed by therapist Catherine Woodward Thomas. Born from her own experience ending a decade-long marriage with dignity rather than destruction, conscious uncoupling offers a revolutionary approach to heartbreak. The reality is stark. Nearly half of marriages end in divorce, with even higher rates for subsequent unions. Yet we continue clinging to fairy tale endings that set us up for shame when love fails. Where did this happily ever after myth originate? It emerged in 16th century Venice, when life expectancy rarely exceeded 40 years, and rigid class structures trapped most citizens in poverty. These desperate conditions created fertile ground for escapist fairy tales promising magical upward mobility and eternal love. But this narrative no longer serves our modern reality. With Americans now experiencing two or three significant relationships in their lifetimes, perhaps we should measure love's success not by longevity, but by the wisdom gained. The question becomes not why did we fail, but how have we grown? Love's opposite isn't hatred, but indifference. When rejection strikes, our brain circuits for reward and rage activate simultaneously, like drug withdrawal. Dr. Helen Fisher's research shows that the brain region active during falling in love becomes even more stimulated during rejection, explaining our obsession with those who leave us. Our brains, wired for survival and connection, resist letting go of attachments. UCLA studies show rejection triggers the same neurological alerts as physical threats, making heartbreak feel viscerally painful. When identities become deeply entwined, separation feels like untangling severely matted hair. Without healing, hearts become crooked, closed, defensive, and easily bruised, the emotional equivalent of a permanent limp. While heartbreak won't kill you, avoiding future pain by shutting down can leave you among the living dead. The challenge is using this pain as a catalyst for growth. As Leonard Cohen wrote, "There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in." Conscious uncoupling means separating with goodwill and respect, minimizing damage while creating structures for all to thrive. Our brains are social organs whose attachment circuitry regulates emotions through our partners. During breakups, losing this regulation triggers fear responses that override rational thinking. Karma isn't cosmic punishment, but action seed results. Each choice shapes our future direction. Instead of sowing bitterness during breakups, we can plant forgiveness to cultivate abundance. True generosity, sharing the same root as Genesis, initiates new life and breaks reactive cycles. Consider Doju and Lucio's separation after 30 years of marriage. When Doju needed to leave their Buddhist marriage, Lucio drove her to the airport and, through tears, bowed deeply to bless her journey, an act of grace that still moves her years later. As Buckminster Fuller noted, "You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete." Breakups hit as hard as grieving death. Studies show identical brain patterns in both cases. Dr. Judith Herman of Harvard Medical School classifies rupture of attachment as serious trauma. When a relationship that once provided shelter becomes the threat itself, we're left especially vulnerable. The end of love often brings spiritual disorientation as your framework for understanding life crumbles. Like Dara, who couldn't pray for a year after being dismissed by the one, you may experience what psychologists call a schema fracture, when your worldview fails to process trauma. These dark emotions, rage, hatred, fear, despair, contain seeds of awakening when properly channeled. Rage often surfaces because breakups mirror childhood wounds, betrayal by someone meant to heal rather than harm. As Thich Nhat Hanh noted, anger can transform, like garbage, into compost. This energy can fuel healthy boundaries and self-advocacy, replacing people-pleasing patterns. Even depression serves a purpose. It slows us down when we're separating from vital connections. Our bodies are wired for interdependence, with biological systems that synchronize with loved ones. When these bonds break, our grief honors these essential connections.
When relationships end, we often feel our deepest fears confirmed about being unlovable. These endings, however, offer chances to identify and heal our core wounds. Our recurring relationship struggles stem from what Thomas calls our source fracture story, the narrative we created from childhood hurts about ourselves and love. Consider Sarah, who grew up with an emotionally unavailable mother and internalized the belief, "I am alone, others always leave." She avoided conflict with her husband and showed only a carefully crafted image, unconsciously recreating the very isolation she feared. We perpetuate these patterns unknowingly. Emily ended things with Rick when he went quiet, later discovering he'd been considering deeper commitment. She had manifested the abandonment she feared. Breaking these cycles requires examining our contributions. How have we validated our core stories? How have we subtly set partners up to disappoint us? Creating happy relationships isn't about finding the perfect person, but developing the capacity for healthy intimacy. Our patterns persist because we lack the tools to create different outcomes, not just because we're trying to heal the past. Unresolved emotions from poorly handled breakups can become fixed within us. Catherine's experience with her boyfriend Frank illustrates this. When he opposed her college plans at 18, she impulsively promised to reunite in their 60s. This unfulfilled promise haunted her for decades through recurring dreams. Clean completions require three elements: acknowledging your partner's significance, appreciating their contributions to your life, and making amends either directly or through changed behavior. The goal isn't to win arguments, but to create healing closure. When Robin and Gary ended their 19-year marriage, their children showed signs of distress despite attempts to shield them from conflict. Through conscious completion, they listened to each other's pain, Gary's feelings of inadequacy from emotional demands, and Robin's marriage loneliness. Their newfound understanding transformed their relationship from resentful to supportive, directly benefiting their children's well-being. The end of a relationship brings unexpected liberation and chances for reinvention. Start by releasing outdated agreements, like, "I'll never love anyone else," or expecting your ex to remain your emotional support. Create new arrangements that reflect your evolved connection, whether as co-parents, friends, or respectful former partners. After grief comes joy, perhaps different from what you imagined, but authentic and full of possibility. As Orson Welles said, if you want a happy ending, that depends, of course, on where you stop your story. A relationship's end isn't the end of love. It's an opportunity to begin again with greater wisdom and an open heart.